know, when I hear this song, I don't know whether to celebrate that the weekend is coming or think that I'm at the ball game and somebody just scored a touchdown.
Yeah,
I don't know, but
it sure does have a party sound.
Oh,
it
absolutely.
Does. Well, while watching you dance, you reminded me of the gopher from Caddyshack.
Well, I dance like a white guy. Caddyshack danced like a white dude.
So if you're tuning in, just put that picture in your head and you've got Roger.
Thanks.
And if you want to put that picture in your head, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think you'd have to add a few pounds.
You're probably right.
Okay, well, this is the show to be named later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Formerly known as, we're like Prince.
Yeah,
the show formerly known as the Trifecta.
Right. Now, you know, with Prince, just getting on that topic for a little bit, I have a different name for him than most people will call him. You know, they all call him Prince now.
Yeah.
I call him the artist formerly known as Prince.
Ah, yes, because he has gone back to Prince.
Yes, he has.
And then gone away. Right.
Because he used to be that unpronounceable symbol or whatever it was.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Little Red Corvette was the pinnacle of his career in my mind.
Mm.
That was really the only Prince song that ever resonated with me.
Well, you didn't get into 1999?
No.
What was the song from Batman? Bat Dance.
He had several. Well, he had that whole soundtrack. So.
Yeah, he did. Right, yeah. Right.
Now, Little Red Corvette. I like that song.
No, that was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Okay, we've exhausted Prince.
All right.
Awkward pause after Prince.
Where do we go from here?
That's right.
Well, you know, when I think of Prince, I think of smoking. See, there you go.
There's it.
There's a segue right there.
Yeah,
it's
brilliant.
Very awkward, but, you know, it is what it is. And this is an article that comes from the website, WKZO.com. We've got a story about Western Michigan University that it's smoking there, already kind of poo-pooed and frowned on.
Mm-hmm.
But next fall, apparently, going to be even tougher if you want to go light up.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, well, I guess there's the way that they're going to ban this is it's already banned in buildings that are on campus.
Mm-hmm.
But once it takes effect, you're basically going to have to go to your car.
Okay.
They're banning cigarettes, e-cigarettes, cigars, snuff, anything you can imagine.
Any tobacco,
sort of chewing tobacco.
Anything you can light up, you're
and anything. I think the patch is not on the list. So if you're trying to quit and you put the patch on, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if you're a smoker who takes the bus to campus, you could just go to the patch. So because you got no place to go because you can't smoke on a bus.
There you go.
I am a smoker, and I agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good policy, and I think it keeps the area clean, and it doesn't affect other people. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing, you know, because I get the secondhand smoke thing. I understand that. And I try to be a polite smoker. I don't smoke outside. I just don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a good idea because the majority of people anymore do not smoke. There's just a few of us that are just, you know, kind of hanging on for whatever reason.
If you think about just the way things have changed just in the last 10, 15 years, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you used to have get on an airplane. You want smoking or non-smoking?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which, I mean, who's kidding who? The smoke came back to non-smoking.
I remember that.
You know, but, or same thing in a restaurant. You want to sit in our non-smoking section?
Right.
You know, now the non-smoking section is, it's inside, basically. And I think there's progress there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say this. I think if you want to smoke, it's your choice. Mm-hmm. Feel free to do that in your space, wherever you'd like to do that.
Sure.
If they start going into these laws to be able to say, we know better than you and you can't smoke in your own home, okay, you've gone too far.
Right.
But I think things like this are very sensible because there are sensitive people. And I got to say this, too, the e-cigarettes, which I don't begin to understand. I understand the concept.
Either. Me either. I don't get it.
But I had a boss that smoked these at one point. When he was around me one time, he's smoking this and letting off whatever it is, vapor or whatever it is that comes out of that. And I'm looking at him like, I don't want that in my lungs. Come on. What are you doing?
Well, to me, it's like, what's the point? You know, if you're going to smoke, smoke. If you're not going to smoke, don't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing, just I don't get it.
I've never smoked. Both of my parents were smokers.
That's because I haven't set you on fire yet.
Well, you may because I forgot your beer, but
yes, that's another discussion entirely.
And Roger, the operative word there is yet.
Yeah. So, I heard that.
So you know
No,
that.
But continue, please.
But just being with parents that smoked cured me from ever wanting to. I set rules even as a little kid that when we were in a car, only one of them could smoke at a time, and they had to have the window closest to them open when they did. And my parents cooperated with me. But did your parents smoke?
My father did. My mom did not.
Oh. How about you?
My father smoked. It was an off and on kind of thing. He did for a while, quit, went back to it, eventually went to some sort of a snuff type thing before he finally did quit, thankfully. But yeah, for me, I don't know that it was so much I watched him do it and I went, oh, yuck. But I remember trying it at one point and going, this is stupid. Why is that? Why would you want to do this?
I remember back in the day, everybody did. One of my favorite shows is Mad Men. And if you watch that, you know, they're drinking scotch at 9 o'clock in the morning and they're lighting up, you know. And that's what you did back in the 60s. That's what everybody did. You know, and just one of those things. Whenever you see an old movie or an old television show and you see somebody lighting up a cigarette, it just looks out of place today.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's not just done on modern television.
It isn't. No, absolutely.
But it is done in modern movies. A lot of movies show young people smoking
Still. You're right.
And I find that a little appalling in that still making it seem glamorous, which I don't think smoking makes you glamorous. Not that I know much about glamour, but.
No, at the same time, you know, I guess to me there's a separation, though. Because you're talking about if you're smoking cigarettes, and I know you're a smoker, so, you know. But I think, you know, that there's a different variety there versus someone that, say, they are a casual smoker of cigars.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people that do that for recreation, and that's fine.
Right.
Or pipe smokers. I kind of feel there's a different category there. Should that still be banned? Yeah, probably. But I kind of feel like, okay, you know, and maybe it's just in my brain and I'm the idiot here. Could be.
Well,
I kind of think, you know, as maybe in my mind, I'm just thinking it's not quite as addictive or something like that, or maybe it's more classy. I don't know.
You know, addiction is one of those things. You can be addicted to television. You can be addicted to food. You know, anything. You know,
Facebook.
Radio.
Absolutely. Yeah. Radio. You know, looking at Roger. I mean, that can be addictive.
I don't think that's very addictive. Well,
that's a self-correcting problem.
That's true. I wonder if we could go to the phones and see if what people think.
Let's do that.
Yeah, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Something you said, Jeremy, that clicked with me. If you want to smoke in your own home, that's your own damn business. There's no reason for government to be intruding into your home.
Right.
I'm a big believer in you've got the right to do just about anything you want to right up till it impacts somebody else.
Great point.
And
and I don't even have a problem. If you're in the kind of place where you can do this and you want to go outside to do that, if it's not going to impact your neighbors at all, that's fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But, you know, and there's been talk of those people saying, well, you know, let's pass laws that, you know, I'm not into the nanny state.
Yeah.
No.
I don't want to
no.
see that, you know, and
I
and,
agree.
You know, thankfully New York City didn't ban that. It was just, you know, big drinks or whatever it was for a while. But, you know, that I don't see that as a good thing to do. I will say this is great because for anybody that's going to go to the Western Michigan campus, you're going to know. Okay, I can breathe there easily.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think that if what you're doing doesn't impact anybody else. Denny, I saw you smoking out on the far side of the parking lot, and unless there was somebody standing in that field across the street, nobody was impacted by your cigarette other than you. I think the government has a responsibility to educate people, And if we know cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, I think the government has a responsibility to make sure citizens understand that, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that they need to be turned into an enforcement agency based on the information they share.
Well, and I got to say this. I mean, you know, I think we all realize this. If you don't know by now that smoking is bad for you, you've been living in a closet somewhere.
You're right. You're right. I agree with that.
That warning has been all over everywhere.
Absolutely.
Robin, what do you think?
Well, number one, I am not a smoker. Okay. But one of the things that just dawned on me is I know a lot of people who are involved in performing and theater are. So when you get in the group, you know, the tech people and everything. So when you get to these tour groups that are going to come through to Miller Auditorium, I just wonder how that's going to be. If they're going to get exemptions, what's going to happen there? Because they do go outside the theater, like when Wicked was here, they go out back and they smoke. How is that going to affect the tour groups coming through? Just a thought.
No, that's a good question.
Yes. Honest question. Sure.
What do they do with a customer of Miller Auditorium who is smoking a cigarette walking from the parking ramp to the theater?
And also, what about the people there? I mean, granted, I know it's not good, obviously, but you also have students who are going to be living in the dorms. That's going to be a whole, I don't know, they may have kids who are going to choose not to come to Western. Just because they can't live in the dorm. I mean, I know there's other housing, but initially a lot of times freshmen will come. I don't know. I understand the positives, but there could be more issues with it than they are thinking. That's all.
Well, I think, Robin, you know, the other part of this, though, if you think about university campuses all over the country, I mean, Western is certainly not the only one that's going this direction. A lot of them are.
Right.
So I don't know if that's going to have as big of an impact on the student body as you might think.
Yeah, but definitely the tour groups that come through. I mean, that is definitely something to think of because they, you know, music, you know, you get all the roadies and all those people who are putting up the stuff and coming back down and all that. And I don't know. It's just an interesting thought.
Okay. Thanks, Robin. Uh-huh. You know, KVCC several years ago instituted a policy like this. I don't know what Kalamazoo College policy is on tobacco on campus. But
Maybe somebody can enlighten us.
Yeah,
right.
But Western is certainly not on the leading edge of this movement.
Well, this is happening in governmental agencies, governmental buildings, public buildings. You know, it's not just universities or schools, but high schools. You don't do it anymore.
Hospitals.
Mm-hmm. Hospitals.
They don't allow smoking on their campus.
Which should be self-evident, but getting to this point,
Yeah. George, how are you this afternoon?
I'm okay. I'm a non-smoker, so I don't have a dog in the fight, except I think it's kind of ridiculous that we collect taxes on this legal product. Now Western wants to reduce the amount of taxes that can be collected, and they're basically sucking up to the hind tit of the taxpayer.
That's an interesting perspective, George.
I guess talking about those tour groups, I'd like to see them start boycotting Western and maybe send a message.
So you are opposed to the ban of tobacco on campus?
Well, just a minute ago, I think I heard you say that somebody outside in your parking lot didn't bother a dang bugger unless they, you know, were right next to them or something, across the street in the field. I don't see how somebody walking across campus bothers many people.
Yeah, but George, haven't you walked into a building and had to run a gauntlet of smokers all standing by the door, and the air the last 20 feet to get into the building is just appalling? Have you ever encountered that?
I've seen a few smokers outside of some buildings there in that area, but I cannot say that I walked through a cloud.
Okay. I have, so...
Well, and I'm a smoker, and that annoys me, to be honest with you.
Okay.
To have
well,
that heavy cloud just
altogether.
Hanging there.
Let's have prohibition of tobacco.
Oh, yeah, that worked real well.
Right.
I mean, if we're going to make everybody healthy, the argument going to the ultimate extent is do away with tobacco, we won't have lung cancer.
Well, but here's the thing, though, George. I mean, we're not talking about totally banning cigarettes, banning cigars, whatever. I mean, people are welcome to do that in their own home, their own vehicle, outside their home, whatever it is. They're just saying, you know what, we don't want it on our college campus.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet you 90% of your listeners don't spend the majority of their day in their house. They're outside and about. They're in their office building. They might not be in their car all day long where they have the privilege of smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it just seems like we're being against the tobacco users in that industry type of thing, and we make money off of it as a government.
Okay.
Well, fair points, George. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Interesting point that technically the university is now working to reduce the tax intake the state because there'll be less theoretically cigarettes consumed.
Right.
But I think
you got to ask the question though. I mean, the taxes that are on cigarettes and that kind of thing, is this to collect more revenue or discourage smoking?
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, and that's the question as to how were those things passed. I mean, it's a whole other can of worms at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
But why were they passed? What was the goal, the ultimate goal of that? Because generally, if you do pass like a tax like that, particularly on something like cigarettes, you're going to have some people give it up and saying, too expensive.
Well, and openly that's talked about. Mm-hmm. And so the politicians that are voting for the limits on tobacco use understand that what they're doing is going to reduce the tax intake. And I think your point is well taken that that's a deliberate strategy. Mm-hmm. Prohibition mm-hmm. won't work. That would just give the drug cartels one more thing to smuggle across the border and sell.
Absolutely.
And we can see from the failed war on drugs that we can't stop that stuff from coming in the country, so prohibition ain't going to work.
Well, that's why you see more and more people in some states, you know, legalizing marijuana to a point, you know, because you can't stop it. So, you know, that's a whole other discussion.
That's another
obviously.
Discussion for another day, likely. But
it does come back to what you do in the privacy of your own home. Is that a government concern, whether it's smoking marijuana or tobacco? Does the government have the right to control your behavior in your own home?
There's some disco moves right now.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
And I can do that with a metal spine.
Where's my leisure suit at? What happened to that thing?
Roger's wearing it right now.
Right. That's right.
I'm going to come in Monday in a full Cleveland. A full Cleveland is a white belt, white shoes, and a polyester leisure suit.
The Cleveland.
It's almost like, you know, the 70s meets Herb Tarlick.
Exactly. Herb Tarlick.
That's exactly right.
Hey, the WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast, mostly cloudy this afternoon, a snow shower in spots, partly cloudy and cold tonight, a couple more snow showers, slippery spots will occur, folks. You know, that's what happens when it snows and it's cold, and a low 19 tonight, times of clouds and sun tomorrow with flurries, very cold and a high 22. Weather brought to you by Westlake Drug, our family serving yours for 35 years. And, yes, we're going to get a taste of winter.
Yeah, it's coming.
Just a taste.
But we're also going to get a taste of a hot new car coming up in just a couple minutes.
Cannot wait.
The 2014 50th anniversary Mustang was released. And Mark Phelan, the auto critic for the Detroit Free Press. Yeah, he got to drive one already.
Did he really?
Yeah. We get to live vicariously through
it. Yeah,
man.
We'll get to participate in that.
Oh, I can't wait.
And he has such a rough job.
No kidding.
He complained. I was out of town all week. They made me drive to Minneapolis and back in a brand new Z50-something Corvette, one of the new hot Corvettes.
Those things are awesome, too.
They are. Yeah. Cool. That's a nice car.
But in a few minutes, we're going to talk about the Mustang and every man's fantasy, I swear.
Absolutely.
CBS News Update.
-24 degrees now. We're losing degrees as the afternoon moves on.
Wait, yeah. I still got a bachelor's degree, don't I?
Yes, but soon it will be an associate.
Oh, that's right. There you go. There you go.
Weather brought to you by Asthma Allergy Centers of Southwest Michigan. For the office nearest you, visit asthmaallergycenters.com. Mostly cloudy this afternoon, a snow shower in the area. More snow showers tonight and a low of 19, again 24 in Kalamazoo. And it dovetails well with Asthma Allergy Centers. I used to work in a corporate world where there was an elevator. Mm-hmm. And I hope my wife's not listening. Well, she doesn't wear a lot of perfume. But sometimes people don't realize they get acclimated to the amount of perfume they put on.
Or aftershave.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. We can cologne. Be non-sexist.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And, but boy, I could tell when the elevator door opened if she'd come to work that day or not. And there were two elevators, and if she was to work, I waited for the next elevator.
Yeah, right.
But it dovetails with smoking. There's other noxious odors associated with people.
Well, and it's funny because you talk about the whole aftershave or perfume thing. You know, there's a difference, and some places are banning anything that smells like that because it's like, okay, we don't need that sort of thing. But there's a difference between the stuff where somebody puts something on and you go, man, that's actually rather nice, mm-hmm, rather right. enjoyable. Right. I kind of like when they come around versus the stuff that announces, he's just around the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, however, the other side of that coin, I knew a gal who would wear tons of perfume. I mean, she put the whole bottle on, and mm-hmm. I had to meet with her twice a year. And I could tell when she was two blocks away that the wind song was just blowing through me, you know, right away. And it's like, okay, you know, she's on the way, you know, fine, whatever, get through it. And after meeting with her, I'd have to go outside. Mm. And I'm a smoker, right? I mean, still, it would affect me. I'd have to go outside just to get some fresh air, just to, you know, to get away from that.
I have to admit, I had the perfectly bad situation with this very thing happen. Mm-hmm. One job that I worked. My boss, I won't mention who it is, mm-hmm. liked to put on a lot of perfume.
Cologne.
It's just her thing.
Oh, okay.
Perfume. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else in the office put on a whole lot of aftershave. Mm-hmm. Well, the two of them were talking to each other at the mailboxes.
Oh, man.
And I had to go to the mailbox to grab something. I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm walking through like Darth Vader. Excuse me.
Amazing. Yeah.
Like a Quentin Tarantino film or something. You know? It's like, oh, my God.
It's just one of those things where it's like, man, I just want to – let me go stick my nose in the garbage for a second to get that out of my – sometimes a nice thing can be a little too much, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, many people think if a little is good, then more's
is better.
You know, a subtle scent when somebody walks by, something memorable, and mm-hmm. so in the future, it's mm-hmm. a mnemonic, and right. when you smell that, you think of them. But some people, it appears, want to be etched in your memory forever.
Oh, and
I tell you, you know, the one place that you can almost get that feeling, if you're looking for that feeling, and who isn't, but if you want to get that feeling of way too much overpowering aftershave, cologne, perfume, whatever it is, just go to one of these department stores.
Oh, this time
of
year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you just walk right up there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
When they're spritzing you, whether or not you want to be spritzed.
As you walk by, they're going, here, try this.
Thank you. No, I didn't want that in my eye.
No. It's the seventh scent that I've had, you know, walking through here. I'm good. I'm okay.
I'm spending the day shopping.
That's right.
No, and you can even get that with, you pick up a magazine. And they've got the little aftershave in there.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Yeah,
little
right. Scratch
there.
And sniff.
You know, let's open up the flap so you can, you know. Mm-hmm. And my wife gave me one of these at one point here recently, some magazine she's reading, but it's got aftershave in there, mm-hmm. that, you know, and all the different scents. She's like, what about this one? And I kind of, I like it.
that's wonderful.
Well, she may have been thinking about Christmas, and so your reaction was probably a good one.
Probably.
Cross that
Santa
off the
Claus
list.
Was going to bring that to you.
Okay, that's not happening. That's I have to say, we're not strong scent people at our house. So, you know, it's...
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't want that.
Well, and you have kids. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How old are your kids?
11 and 4.
Oh, okay. And any allergies or asthma in the kids?
Not that we're aware of at this point.
So. Yeah, cool. And so you could wear god-awful amounts of aftershave if you wanted.
Now my wife is at home going, no.
Now, my son, who's now 29, when he was in high school and a few years afterwards, he would hit it pretty hard, you know, with the cologne. And I was like, oh, Mike, come on. Back that off.
590 WKZO time is 444, and as promised, Mark Phelan, the auto critic for the Detroit Free Press, joins us. Mark, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm terrific, thanks, Roger. I hope you are too.
Oh yeah, fat and sassy on this end. Okay, how long did you get to drive the Mustang, and what color was it?
Well, unfortunately, nobody's getting to drive a Mustang for a while yet.
Even you haven't driven one?
Nobody. No, a few Ford development testers, but it's almost a year before it's going to be on sale. It'll be sometime in the fourth quarter of next year that it goes on sale. So I'm hoping that in maybe August or September, I'll be able to get my hands on one. But the one that they, you know, that I saw and sat in this week was bright red, and it looked fantastic. Oh, I cannot wait to drive it.
We're living vicariously through
you
right
now.
Does it pay homage to any of its predecessors?
Yes.
If so, which model does it salute?
They went with a fastback design, which is a sort of a sloping rear window, which was the 69 to 71, roughly.
Yeah.
I'm frankly not as good with model years as somebody who does this for a living should be. But it's that sort of, you know, second and third generation fastback that they went with. And it looks very good. It's a real fast rear window. And they also made the windshield lay back a little bit farther than it does on the current model, and that makes the new one look like it's got an incredibly long hood and nose, so that even though it's actually about a quarter of an inch shorter overall than the current car, it looks like it's longer, and it's also lower and wider, and that helps with the perspective as well.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Steve McQueen Bullitt-type style, right? Late 60s? Yeah.
Very much late 60s, early 70s, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What powers it?
Well, there's going to be three engines. Two of them are similar to the ones they've got right now, a 3.7, I believe, liter V6 that's about 300 horsepower, and the wonderful, wonderful 5-liter V8, which is going to go up to over 420 horsepower. Those are both developments of current engines. There's one brand new engine that I'm really looking forward to as well. It's a turbocharged four-cylinder, and it uses the technologies that Ford calls EcoBoost, and we've seen EcoBoosts in, you know, Fusions and Focuses and Explorers and Edges, but we've never seen an EcoBoost in a sports car. And this is the first try, and 2.3-liter turbo, it's going to produce more than 305 horsepower, so it'll be more powerful than the bigger V6, and it also should get a higher EPA fuel economy rating. So that looks like it could be the real kind of diamond in this set of engines.
Mark, Jeremy Lawrence here. I had a question about that because I think a lot of people, when they heard this, I mean, this was sort of hinted at probably a year and a half ago. And correct me if I'm wrong on that, but this was hinted at.
No, you're absolutely right.
And I think for a lot of people, a lot of car guys and just people in general are going, okay, wait a minute, a four banger and a Mustang? That doesn't sound like it would be fast, but it sounds like we'd be wrong on that.
Well, the numbers certainly say that this should be a very fast engine. I mean, it's understandable that people would be skeptical because four-cylinder engines don't have a great history, and there were four-cylinder engines in the Mustang II, which, if you remember it, is the only Mustang that really people want to forget. It was the Mustang that was born out of the 1970s fuel crises, and it was... it's the only one that was really kind of an embarrassment to the name in a lot of ways. So, Ford definitely understands there's going to be some skepticism, but the turbocharging and direct fuel injection that they use on four-cylinder engines today allow them to produce huge amounts of power. I mean, this is going to have more power than a lot of the V8s that they were putting in cars in the 1960s did. So it should be a lot of fun, but they're doing the smart thing, which is for anybody who's skeptical, they're still going to have the 5-liter V8, and the V6 is no slouch. I mean, 300 horsepower in a car the size of the Mustang. I really enjoy the V6 in the current model, and I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun in the new one too.
The V6 will be the standard engine. And then the Turbo 4 and the big V8 will be options?
That would be what I expect. They haven't said anything about pricing yet, but it would make sense for the V6 to be the base. I would imagine that the Turbo 4 will be a little bit more expensive because it's got more power and better fuel economy, and then the V8 will probably be the most expensive.
Yeah. How do they... Part of the ambiance of a Mustang is hearing the engine. How are they going to make that four-cylinder sexy sounding so it's fulfilling to drive it? It has to be a Mustang.
It has to be a Mustang, and that, frankly, is going to be one of the challenges. I mean, there's no way that it will sound just like the V8, but there are a lot of things that engineers can do these days, both with electronics, which you might think that using electronics to change what the engine sounds like is cheating, but even Ferrari does it. So if it's cheating, you're in good company. they can do that, and they can also do some tricky things with the computer modeling of the exhaust pipes and the headers and everything else, so that you've got as much performance, throaty, growling kind of engine sound and exhaust note as possible.
Yeah.
Mark, talk about the color schemes. Are they keeping the traditional Ford color schemes? You know, that lime green that they had, I just never got next to that.
There's going to be a different green, and I think it's pretty interesting color. First of all, they are keeping a lot of the same colors. There will, of course, be a red and a black and a white and that real deep blue.
That's the one I like.
There's also going to be a green, and it's kind of almost like a kind of a mossy green. So it's more subdued than the one you're talking about.
Okay.
And it looks pretty classy. And there's going to be a yellow that's a tri-coat, three different coats of paint, and on a bright, sunny day, I got a feeling that thing is going to scald your eyeballs in a good way.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking with Mark Phelan, you're kind of the car guru for the Free Press. And I want to get your angle on this just total. As you sat in this car, do you really feel like it lives up to the name? Do you feel like that this is going to be the next big thing? Or do you think people will just kind of look at it and yawn?
I don't think anybody's going to look at it and yawn. I think that it looks like it should have what it takes to both satisfy the millions of fanatical Mustang fans that are out there, but it's also got enough new technology and the looks are modernized enough that it should appeal to some new buyers as well. And in fact, that's one of the things Ford is very hopeful about. Because of the technology changes and a bunch of other things, this Mustang will be relatively easy for them to sell all over the world. And they're hoping that they do sell reasonably meaningful numbers. The U.S., of course, is the place that drives the design and the place where they'll always sell the most. But they think they can sell a reasonable number of them in Europe and China and a few other places because the car is kind of a legend. It's a little bit like a piece of the American ethos that you can maybe buy and drive around in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a truly American car. It isn't a world car. It's really an American car, and I think you're onto something there. Always good talking with you, Mark. What are you driving next week that will make us drool?
Next week, nothing that'll make you drool. It's a very nice Hyundai Santa Fe, but there's a reason for all of you to pay attention next week anyway, because on Tuesday here in Detroit, the three finalists for North American Car and Truck of the Year will be announced. So a total of six vehicles. They're going to be announced on Tuesday. I'm one of the jurors, so I've already voted.
Okay.
I have no idea what's going to win.
All right.
I can't wait to see. That's going to be a big bit of news that's happening on Tuesday for everybody to take a look at Threep.com, and you know, we'll let you know as soon as we know, you'll know.
Thanks, Mark. Always good talking with you. Mark Phelan, the auto critic for the Detroit Free Press. Boy, he's got a job, huh?
What a sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough.
24 degrees. We'll have the full forecast right after this.
Way to play that harmonica. That's great.
That's right.
And you thought I was just a pretty face.
Yeah, everybody does, Roger.
Yeah.
That's right.
But, you know, Roger, I think there's a problem at this particular time of year because, you know, first of all, how do you get into the Christmas spirit?
Right.
Yeah.
And particularly if you're a sci-fi fan, how do you pay homage to that as well?
Yeah, I never saw a Christmas tree on the Enterprise, come to think of it.
No.
Nevertheless, there is a Star Trek Christmas song.
Really?
No.
Absolutely.
You're kidding.
Absolutely.
No.
And I think I'd like to play this for it.
Oh, yeah.
This is the great way to get you into that spirit and get us into the weekend as well.
Well, Christmas shopping, you got to do that tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So without further ado, let's make it so.
Or maybe not.
Or not. I don't know.
I've got
you got it over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's potted up, but
try it one more time.
Okay.
Apparently not working.
Yes.
Okay.
It works so well in rehearsal.
maybe it works.
Okay.
Here we go.
Apparently something was muted there. So.
Ah.
Okay. All right. So
we're going to try it again.
We're going to try it one more time here. Okay. And here we go. Or not. See, this thing is giving us all sorts of problems.
Well, maybe,
here we go.
Maybe a Klingon took it. There we go.
There.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go.
Make it so.
Make it so. Make it so. Man,
it doesn't show signs of stopping.
And I brought me some tea, grey hot. The lights are turned way down low.
Make it so. Make it so. Make it so.
When we finally kiss.
Good night.
How I hate going out in
the storm. But if you...
Really?
Shut up, Wesley.
It doesn't get much better than that.
Shut up, Wesley.
You'll just have to look up Star Trek Christmas song on YouTube. You'll love it.
News, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.